Construction is beginning on Northwestern Energy's first new power plant in Montana since the Dave Gates plant went online near Anaconda in 2011. In this time of energy uncertainty, this could be some very good news for Montanans who are worried about the risk of rolling blackouts when there isn't enough energy to meet the high demands on the coldest nights and hottest days. The new natural gas-fired power plant south of Laurel is being built to provide that kind of always-available, on-demand energy sources that Northwestern Energy needs in order to add more renewable variable resources like wind and solar energy. In this episode of the Voices of Montana podcast, Northwestern Energy's President and Chief Operating Officer Brian Bird, along with Vice President of Supply John Hines, brings us the details not with Tom, but with guest host and President of the Northern Broadcasting System, Taylor Brown.
I appreciate you guys helping us explain this topic a little bit because we first heard about this proposed natural gas-fired plant at Laurel a couple of years ago. And when I first heard it, I thought to myself, boy, it takes a long time to get something like that permitted, to get something like that in place, and it'll take forever to get it accomplished. But several things fell together, several things that probably you guys didn't have much control of, but to have a location and to have a pipeline and to have everything at kind of fell together at the same spot, and now it is becoming reality. The idea, if you're not familiar with it, the idea is to bring to utilize a former oil pipeline that was already in place to bring natural gas up from Colorado to Montana to create a new source of natural gas generated power in Montana. So before we get into those specifics, and I don't want to skip by those because our audience is a bunch of doers. They're a bunch of doers and builders, and they're blue-collar folks. They'll want to know, how did you do it? How are you doing it? How's it physically going to happen? But before we get into that, let's talk about the why. And, Brian, I think that's probably the best source for you to jump in here because a couple of reasons why this is happening now. One relates to the news we had on just a few weeks ago about Northwest Energy's commitment to renewable resources. You made the point a couple of weeks ago that Northwest Energy is going to have a net zero carbon emissions by 2050. And when we heard that, I said, well, how are they going to be able to be net zero carbon? What are they going to do to provide the power the rest of the time when renewables are available? And that is precisely what a plant like this enables you guys to do, to be able to firm up some of that time and be able to go after more renewables.
Yeah, Taylor, I think you hit it up well. I think from our perspective, this plant offsets the intermittency of the many resources we've added over the years. You're absolutely right. The last gas plant we built in Montana was the Dave Gates Generating Station, which was over 11 years ago. But what we've done in the meantime, we've added 750 megawatts of renewable resources, and the biggest, of course, was the hydro facilities we purchased, 446 megawatts, and those are the best renewables. They provide the most amount of capacity, but even those have some intermittency depending on water flow. So the reason we need to build this plant is to offset the intermittency of wind and solar. And matter of fact, you mentioned earlier on the show here that, you know, on the coldest days and the hottest days, we need this type of capacity, and those are the days that the wind isn't necessarily blowing. And we need a resource that we can turn on and off in order to meet the needs of our customers, and that's exactly what this plant will do for us near Laurel.
So the second part of the equation then is not just your effort to try to provide firming power for those renewables, but to provide or to be able to have control of more of your own power by itself. And that was the point, I think, that Bob made when he was on our show here a couple of months ago, that he showed us the charts of among power companies across the nation, Northwest Energy does not have the high percent of available power supply that you'd like to have. So setting aside the renewable issue for just a moment, you just need to have more ability to generate your own power.
Yeah, I'm glad Bob is a good setup guy. You know, from our perspective, we have a capacity shortfall that our neighbors don't. And I think people will recall that we haven't been in the generation business really since the early 2000s when we were able to invest in generation again. And so we're really catching up in that regard. And we have to import power now. Montana, as you know, historically has been an exporter of power. But when you start closing down Corret and Colstrip 1 and 2, all of a sudden people are needing to import power in the state, and we ourselves need to do that. We're relying on others to provide us power when we need it the most. And that's not a good place to be. We want to have a little more control over that. And this planet near Laurel is going to do that for us.
So my point is, this is an ongoing effort, not just for this particular natural gas-fired plant that you're constructing right this moment, but this is an ongoing effort to continue to look for sources. In fact, you have looked at quite a few different sources. I recall that you looked at another hydro project, and you're looking at a battery storage facility. You guys are turning over a lot of different rocks looking for ways to make this happen.
Yeah. I'd like John to weigh in on that. He runs that process, and how we go about that process, maybe he can weigh in there.
That'd be a perfect one for the fella in charge of supply, John. Tell us, we don't need to get into a lot of detail on those other projects, but I just thought the variety of other things you looked at, the battery storage, the hydro, those sure indicate a deep commitment to me.
Yeah, I mean, we look at three different legs, if you will, to a stool when we're trying to see what our portfolio needs. And number one, I would say, is reliability. We have to have our system reliable. You know, it's bad enough when a place like Texas doesn't have enough power, and they had hundreds of deaths and, you know, billions and billions of dollars of damage. But that's at 25 degrees. You know, in Montana, when we're at 25 below, it's a much more serious issue. So reliability, then affordability, and also sustainability, which just comes back to what you and Brian were talking about with the renewable development. But first and foremost, we are still really reliant on the regional power purchases, if you will. And I'm very concerned about that. A lot of analysts are concerned about the lack of available power to sell to us going forward when we need it the most. And when you have that supply and demand equation, the prices associated with it are also much more volatile and certainly higher. To give you an example, we're buying power today at around $30 a megawatt hour. If we would buy power for July and August right now, we'd have to be paying $160 to $170 a megawatt hour. And just as an aside, the price of gas the price of electricity at this Yellowstone plant is going to be under $60 a megawatt hour, even at today's really high gas prices.
That's John Hines. He is the Vice President of Supply and Montana Government Affairs for Northwest Energy. And John, we're going to get into the specifics on that Yellowstone County Generating Station here in just a moment, because people, I think, want to know the details on that. And I also, before we come back, I also want to talk about just the general situation for natural gas in that Billings and Laurel area. I mean, I know that we are at a point where MDU and some of the others you supply gas to are saying, we need more natural gas. And let's talk about this pipeline, how it fits into that.
Hi, I'm Mitch Conan from Fairfield, and I'm your immediate past president of Montana Grain Growers. I want every Grain Growers member and other producers to be proud of what we did this year at the National Association of Wheat Growers Convention. We had three of our resolutions adopted in the national policy. For example, you may not be familiar with the potential National Heritage Area in Grape Falls. You don't have to, because we're fighting on your behalf. Thank you, Montana Grain Growers members, for your support. Learn more at mgga.org.
John, just before we went to the break, you were talking about the need to have energy sources and some of the things that you guys look at when you're trying to find how can we find more source of our own energy. And, you know, I don't really know how much difference that Dave Gates plant made when it came on 11 years ago. I remember we were at the legislature when that happened, and I remember when it came on. Of course, I don't know if you know this, John, but Dave Gates was one of my closest friends. He and I both graduated from Lewistown from high school in 1974 and then went to college together and were freshman roommates at college. So I would say probably my worst day in my 8 years at the legislature was the day of that plane crash. That was probably my worst day at that time. But I was so proud when you guys honored Dave with naming that plant.
It's well deserved. Yeah, Dave was my mentor, I would say, and I appreciate those comments, and he was a heck of a guy, and we still think about him and miss him a lot.
Did he teach you to ski too? Because he did me.
we sort of had competition on that.
I digress here, and I apologize for that. But I wanted to, before we talked about a moment ago, we're talking about the needs for this plant and why this Laurel, this Yellowstone County Generating Station is being constructed. And when I kind of hinted there at the break, that part of it is that Northwest Energy needs a way to firm up so some of their energy sources so that they can go to more renewables, because they've made a big commitment to increase their renewables and already have increased it a lot. Second, that Northwest Energy just needs to have more sources that they control. But the third reason I see for this plant, and I guess it isn't really Northwest Energy's need as much as everybody else in the Yellowstone Valley, but Billings is a town that we don't have a lot of more ability for gas lines, and we need more gas. And some of the people that you wheel to, like that you provide energy to, like MDU, are kind of needful of more of this gas. So it strikes me that that's probably the third, maybe the less important, but a third reason why it'll be pretty handy to have this new gas source in the western end of Yellowstone County.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. Bringing in gas from a different area. Right now, most of the gas that serves all of Montana comes from the north, from Canada. And so we're reliant more on that particular market than any other place. And I know most of your listeners will commiserate that having more ways or more places to buy your product from is really beneficial. And over the break, I was thinking a little bit about an analogy that I think will really resonate with your folks. And having the ability to set the price for your grain or other feeds, or even for the cattle, instead of having an external market tell us what we have to sell those products for. That's where the same position we're in right now with electricity. 40% of our electricity is bought from parties basically out of state, and they're setting the price for us. And we don't really have any control over that. And with the Dave Gates generation plant, with Colstrip, with our wind generation, the hydro, and then this new gas plant, we'll be able to help set the price for our customers much better. I mean, granted, there'll still be some natural gas piece components to it, but that'll be really big. And the other thing, and Brian and I and several other folks in our company have been meeting daily almost on this, is the Billings area, you know, with the loss of the Corette plant, with the growing load in the Billings area and the loss of units 1 and 2 at Colstrip, we're very concerned about just the lights being able to be kept on, especially if Colstrip 3 and 4 end up closing, like a lot of folks in the West want that to happen. We need some generation in that area. There's not enough transmission capability right now, if all of those events happen, for us to be able to move power elsewhere to that area. It's critical.
Just to kind of keep things in perspective, you mentioned that Corette plant that was located there on the south side of Billings. That when that was dismantled, that was about a 150-megawatt plant. And the plant you're talking about creating here, this Yellowstone County generating station, this natural gas plant, would have a capacity of about 175 megawatts. So that gives you a feel for the size of it. But in general, natural gas has been high for price lately, and the long-term forecast for that? I mean, tell me what you feel about the long-term forecast for natural gas prices and the economics of this new station.
I'll answer the first piece, or the last piece first. I'm sorry. The economics of this, I think, have done nothing but improve, and there's a couple reasons why. First and foremost, I'm really proud to be part of a company that was willing to not go through the formal regulatory process to get these costs put into rates prior to us spending the money. That's a big risk, and Brian can talk a little bit about
that. That is a big
step. That. You know, that's $275 million that the company is putting out there with that we expect to get recovery from. Now, why did we do that? We had fixed price contracts, and everyone knows how much inflation is just blowing up right now. If we had waited for the regulatory process, just the time frames that are in statute, we would have been in a position where those fixed price contracts were no longer valid. And so we would have been at the mercy of the new market increases, the supply chain disruptions, all of that. So we made a decision. It's in the best interest of our customers for us to go forward and go forward now. And that's why you see us moving forward as quickly as possible, with the intent of having it operational for the 23-24 winter heating season.
Well, that is something I had not realized until you mentioned that. I had not realized that timeline, but Gosh, yeah, you'd be chasing it. You'd be chasing a moving target if you did that. It may never catch up to it, especially with the way things are going now. Let me just pause there just a second, check on what's going on around Montana. Let's check with Brian Bennett, catch up on our headlines, and then we'll get right back into it.
Growing up on the Crow Reservation, I know the struggles that Native Americans face. Too many children have been traumatized because of their vulnerability. They are often left isolated and alone to deal with these pains. For some of these natives, drugs and alcohol become the way to cope, and others want to completely remove the pain. Suicide has devastated too many families and communities on the reservation. If you know someone who believes there is no other option but suicide, please know there are people who will help. Text MT741741. There is help out there.
The logistics of this plant were pretty fortuitous for you guys. I mean, first of all, you identified an existing oil pipeline that Phillips 66 didn't need anymore. We're able to purchase that pipeline. So this natural gas actually, it'll actually come from Colorado. Do I have that right?
Yeah, it's from the Colorado Interstate Gas Pipeline. So it can come from a variety of places on that pipeline, but it originates down there.
So you were able to tap into a project that already had the pipeline brought basically to Laurel. The challenge was to get it under the river and get it to the other side of the river where you are in a kind of an industrial site right next to the refinery there, the Senex refinery. So that location kind of fell together for you pretty nicely in general.
I would say that there are very, very few locations that met these kind of criteria. In fact, we're not aware of another one. Having that pipeline was huge. It's very difficult to site new pipelines. And then having it located in an area that we absolutely need new generation and in an industrial area, it's like you've noticed, it's next to a refinery. It's right next to the city of Laurel's sewage plant. I was exceedingly pleased when our folks were able to identify that as a reasonable place. And so we have kind of two projects going on at the same time. One, we're refurbishing the oil pipeline to make it compatible with natural gas.
Right.
We'll be drilling across the river. We finally got our flood permit from the Yellowstone County. Thank you, Yellowstone County commissioners, for that. And we are then going to connect that pipe to the plant. At the same time, we have a whole different construction going on with the actually site development and building of the plant itself, and we have contractor on the Caterpillar engines. That's actually been done in Germany. They'll be shipping those engines over to us, and then we have the whole site development going on as well.
Well, you always get nervous when you're working around a river, of course, but the pipe itself, I'm told, goes 50 feet under the river. I mean, that's a pretty far distance from a river that really isn't going to move because all those facilities there have got to keep that river in place for all those other facilities you just mentioned.
Yeah, there's over 35 other pipelines that crossing the river at that point. But we take our environmental responsibilities very seriously. The regulations require us to be 7 to 10 feet underneath the river. We're going to drill it, as you noted, to be 50 feet under the river to just ensure that there's no soil migration or basically erosion from the river channel.
It's an amazing project. We're going to come back and talk a little bit more about it and what it could mean to Billings and to Northwest Energy. Don't go away. We'll continue our conversation with Brian Bird and also with John Hines as we'll wrap up our conversation about the Yellowstone County Generating Station, the first natural gas-fired generation plant built in years in Montana.
If you're using dyed diesel fuel and driving on Montana's public roads, you may not know this, but you are breaking the law. The small savings you see at the pump could end up costing you up to $5,000 in fines. Dyed diesel fuel is not taxed and is intended for off-road use only. Please, do the right thing. Don't use dyed fuel on Montana's roads. To report violators, you can call 1-888-FUEL-LAW. Thanks for your help. This message brought to you by the Montana Department of Transportation.
Gentlemen, we've had a lot of interest in this plant. We've had a lot of people excited about it. But I'm sitting here thinking, in addition for you having enough power for your customers during your peak demand, what would happen if we weren't able to bring on plants like this? John, you talked about the risk that Northwest Energy took in bringing it on, and maybe it wasn't that much risk when you look at how badly that energy is needed in the world, and you can kind of see that. But what would be the impact for Northwest Energy's customers if if we weren't able to bring on something like this Yellowstone County Generating Station, maybe Brian or
I'll grab that one, Taylor. I think from the risk perspective, and again, John did a good job describing why we decided to move forward without pre-approval. And again, back to the pre-approval piece, that's a significant risk for us. We're going to make a $280 million investment and not know exactly if we'll get recovery until the plant's completed and asked for in rates. And so that's a big risk. But the bigger risk is to our customers. If we can't have reliable power for our customers, I thought John did a nice job describing what's happened in Texas and California when you only have intermittent resources at times and you don't have these types of resources available to turn on when you need them. And that's why it's so critical for our customers to have it. And I do, you know, as we look forward, you know, there's continued pressure at the Colstrip plant and in the Billings area, that those are significant means to serve the load of Billings. And so without that and potentially at some point in the future and without this plant, it's a significant risk to our customers and heavier reliance on others to help serve our needs. And by the way, when there's a cold front or a extreme heat, it might not just be in Montana. It might be in our neighboring states where we're trying to draw upon that power too. And so if we can even get it could be a question. And if we can, what price? And so we need to kind of protect ourselves with our own resources. And it's critical for us to have that. And I think also the thing that's helpful about a plant like this, it helps facilitate increased investment in renewables. It's allowed, you know, Dave Gates allowed us to invest in renewables, either for our own assets we've purchased in wind, for instance, Spy and Cop, or the other things that we've contracted. So it's a very, very valuable resource in that regard. But more importantly, it's there to address the risk that you just raised.
You've already made a huge commitment to renewables, far more than most other power plants have, or power companies have. So you're already there. You already have done that. Now you have to figure out how to firm that when you need it. So I'm sitting here thinking, this plant that you're building now, this won't run all the time then. This plant will be a plant that you'll be able to turn on and turn off as you need it, and it won't be a plant that's running full time. Is that correct?
Oh, absolutely. And I think you raise a good point. I think when people hear, you know, Northwestern Energy, they typically think about our fossil fuel resources. But this is a company that's about a third hydro, a third wind, and a third thermal resources, think coal and natural gas. And this is in Montana, by the way, that versus a national average, about 40% renewable. So two-thirds versus 40%, we're way ahead already. But that's all the more reason to have a plant like this. And John talked about the three-legged stool. You know, reliability, extremely important. We know about that, certainly as of the last couple of years, even more so. Affordability is important, being able to address that, but sustainability. And over time, we'll have to rely less on this plant. Matter of fact, we even acknowledge that a plant like this could operate even beyond 2050 if we haven't found non-carbon emitting resources to offset that load. And the technology to address that isn't with us today. We're getting closer. We're getting closer with resources like hydrogen, nuclear, you know, long duration storage, the issue with battery storage, and we support batteries. We're actually trying to get a battery built in the Billings area as well. But, you know, that duration is more in the 5 hour. We need something who can deliver that capacity like over 5 days. And so a plant like the Yellowstone County plant can run during that time period. But over time, as we continue to, you know, green, if you will, or clean up our portfolio and even get higher than 66%. From our perspective, this plant will run less, but it's going to be there and it's going to be necessary to run when we need it on our peak days, the hottest and coldest days of the year.
Well, people are listening from all over the state now, from all corners of the state. Some of them don't get to Laurel very often, so they barely can even understand the location you're talking about. But talk about what's going on out there, because under construction now, I'm anticipating probably got a quite a few jobs there right now to get it constructed. What'll it take once it gets constructed to run? Give us a feel for the impact there for that community.
Well, I think the impact is, well, John, I'll grab it and you can pile on.
Okay.
I mean, the construction itself is going to be, you know, 250 to 300 folks will be there to help construct the facility. And then ultimately at the plant on an ongoing basis, we're going to have 10 full-time skilled employees to do that. I mean, that's a significant economic benefit to the community as well, and I think to the state. I mean, we had Circle Analytics do a study for us in terms of the plant, and you know, upwards of $450 million of economic output. In essence, the surrounding communities, in terms of the resources coming to build the plant, and ultimately, all of that is going to drive incremental business and gross economic output of, like I said, approximately $450 million. And I should also mention, you know, taxes. That number is inclusive of taxes.
I think Hines would go to that. If you hadn't have brought that up, he would probably bring that up.
I think from a state perspective, it's just over $900,000 annually. And you know, from a property tax perspective, you know, we're going to be providing about $1.8 million to the Laurel School District and another 1.5 approximately for Yellowstone County. So we are the largest property taxpayer in the state. We have assets all over, and we will be the largest property taxpayer in Yellowstone County after the construction of this plant. So, you know, there will be a significant economic benefit, but I'm going to go back to the most important benefit again, and is of those three-legged stools, it's the reliability that this is going to provide, not just the Billings area, but our system as a whole.
We got a couple of more questions people have sent in to us that we want to get to those, so we'll come back and wrap up. Gentlemen, thank you for your patience. It is so cool to have two guys of your prominence take a whole hour to visit with the state of Montana about your new project, and we're excited about it. Let's go to that last commercial break, and then we'll come back with John Hines and Brian Bird from Northwest Energy.
At Miles Community College, we asked current MCC students why they chose MCC.
Hi, I'm Cruz McNulty, and I chose MCC because I'm on a rodeo scholarship, and they have a wonderful rodeo team.
My name is Carson Hauser, and I chose Miles Community College for the small class sizes and great education.
To learn more about Miles Community College, visit milescc.edu.
Gentlemen, I got a couple of questions coming in that I just like to give our audience a chance to ask a question. One question is, why not build the plant at a location that isn't like next to Laurel or next to the river? And I think you kind of answered that, John, when you described the other opportunity. But why wouldn't a guy build that plant like Colstrip or some of the wind farms kind of out in the middle of nowhere, maybe down the valley somewhere closer along that pipeline back toward Colorado somewhere?
Well, that's a good question, and I guarantee you that we look at all different places that we can build it. You need to have sufficient electric transmission in the near location, and you need to have a pipeline, or else you're going to have to spend tremendous amount of money for a pipeline. Basically, it's about over $1 million a mile of building pipeline right now. As I noted earlier, there are a lot of pipelines that currently cross the river in that locale. I think 37. I looked it up while we were chatting, and there's 37 of them, both oil and gas. The gas pipeline is significantly less environmentally effect than a oil pipeline. If there is a break, it just bubbles up through the river. We've met all permit applications. And again, if you look at a map where it's located adjacent to Laurel, there's already a very large refinery right adjacent to it.
Yeah.
There's the Laurel sewage plant right adjacent to it, and it's zoned appropriately for our uses. So to us, it seemed like a really good place to build. And, you know, the city of Laurel, prior to the mayor passing, unfortunately, from COVID, they were very supportive of it. The dynamics changed fundamentally there, but there's also a lot of outside help, I would say, in facilitating the dynamic change. You know, you'll see the MEIC and the Sierra Club involved in all the litigation trying to stop or delay this thing. So I just think it's Montana. Nothing's really easy in Montana. And so any place we chose or would choose, even for wind plants and solar plants, there's a tremendous amount of pushback against development.
You must have been pretty happy when you realized that you had a pipeline in place that you wouldn't have to put a pipeline in, but you could switch it over and use it for natural gas. Are we talking about it like a 10-inch pipeline, or how big a pipeline is this?
Yeah, that's exactly what we're going to be using. And it, again, having that pipe in place saved a tremendous amount of money for our customers.
Yeah.
And it also has a tremendous amount of siting. We were able to not go have to site a new pipeline, which would have taken years and years and years. And we don't have the time. I know we as a society have grown very accustomed to walking into our home and turning on the switch and light is there, power, heat is there. But we are people who actually do this stuff day to day. We're extremely concerned about the reliability.
Right.
And having those factors come together was really critical. It was the chance to get something operational really fast. And Taylor, there's one other point I wanted to make with the location of this plant, and that there's a lot of customers, really, really big customers, industrial plants, that don't purchase power from us. But, you know, power doesn't move like the financial transactions associated with it. It goes according to physics. And if there isn't this plant built, I'm very concerned about the industrial customers being able to reliably serve their load, even if they have it contracted for power from someplace outside of Montana. For it to get there, this plant will provide a really helpful aid to that as well.
We've got a couple of minutes left. I want to give Brian a chance to make a final comment here. And Brian, I think I would be remiss if I had the Chief Operating Officer of Northwest Energy on and didn't ask what your perspective is on the world energy situation right now. Every day we hear about another change with the Ukraine and Russia situation with regard to the world's energy supply. Just what do you think about when you think about that, or if that's appropriate? And then just any other comments you want. We got a couple minutes left here.
Yeah, I think, I didn't expect a question on Ukraine today, but that's great. I think from our perspective, what it's done, I think Texas has been a wake-up call for this country to understand the importance of reliability and the difficulty to be able to provide those resources, particularly in a changing, and I think appropriately changing. We do, all utilities want to have a cleaner portfolio. We all want to move in that direction. But I think we need to do it with those three-legged stools that John pointed out in mind. It's got to be reliable. We got to do it in a cost-effective manner. And we do all want to be more sustainable. By the way, natural gas companies are ultimately trying to also achieve net zero. So we're all trying to get there. But that heavy reliance on a particular resource can be a problem. We saw that with Germany, their heavy reliance. You need a balanced portfolio of resources and ones that work well together. This gas plant is going to be helpful with intermittency of renewables, and we want to continue to have deployment of those resources. We have a commitment to net zero, but you will see a lot of companies who have that same commitment who need natural gas until we can have low-cost, non-carbon-emitting, long-duration resources, like I mentioned earlier, things like hydrogen and nuclear. They aren't cost-effective for our customers today. We need natural gas during this time period to help deliver for our customers. And so let's make sure we go about it the right way in that we consider all of those things instead of moving too far in one direction. The balance stool is very important.
Well, I didn't mean to spring the world question on you, but it just occurred to me that you must think about that differently than most of us when you evaluate what's happening around the globe. And certainly these are interesting times. Well, thank you, gentlemen. Thank you for being on our program today and for your commitment to Montana.
Thanks, Taylor.
Thank you, Taylor. Have a good one. Give our best to Tom's family.
We will certainly do that. Brian Bird and John Hines joining us today. And by the way, don't forget, coming up on Monday, we're going to talk mental health. Courtney Kibblewhite will be our guest, talking to Amber Blake from Big Timber as they talk about the model for mental health support that they're deploying across other communities. Let's get beyond the weather in our conversations with our neighbors. I'm Taylor Brown. Thanks for joining us for Voices of Montana.